Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that's part of this complete breakfast. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope...
Hey, folks! Back now with another Scope Instant Review. We're in the car just after seeing a film. That's the thing we do. Today I'm joined with Earl. Joined by Earl. Words are hard. He's sitting in for Shane, who couldn't make it. How you doing, Earl?
I'm doing swell. How are you doing tonight?
Doing great.
Awesome.
Got to change lanes here. Just bear with me here. We just got out of a sneak preview of a new film starring Hugh Jackman. It's called Prisoners.
Don't forget Jake Gyllenhaal.
I'll get to the rest of the cast
okay,
here. As you mentioned, Jake Gyllenhaal, whatever, he's in there. You've got Maria Bello. You've got Terrence Howard, Viola Davis, Melissa Leo, some
right
kids...
Eye.
And Paul Dano.
Paul Dano.
So let's set the scene a little bit of what the film's about. You've got two families. You've got the Hugh Jackman family, which I can't remember their name. We'll just call them that. So you've got two families who kind of live down the street from each other, and they are having Thanksgiving together. You've got two sets of parents, you've got two teenage kids, one from each family, and then you've got two younger daughters, one from each family. So they're sitting around, they're having Thanksgiving, chit-chatting, whatever. Things seems normal, but we've caught a glimpse early on in the film of a suspicious vehicle in the form of an RV.
Dun, dun, dun.
So at one point,
you need me to work that way?
No, I just need this guy to get out of the way. Will you make a decision, please? Thank you.
Hey, they got a whiskey plane.
I don't know. So,
he's handicapped.
At one point, the kids are all up for a walk, and the younger kids decide they're going to crawl all over this RV for some reason, because kids are precocious, and that's what they do.
They do, though.
But the teenage kids are like, no, get away from there. You're dumb. Whatever. So they end up getting back to the main house. But for whatever reason, one younger girl says, oh, I want to look for my whistle. And my friend here said I would help me. So in a feat of irresponsible parenting, they said, yeah, go ahead. Just run back to the house unescorted and go find that whistle.
They thought the teenage kid was going to get it.
That's true. You're right. They were instructed to go grab the teenagers to escort them, but they didn't. They just ran off on their own, and they don't come back.
Yeah, they're missing.
So, dun dun dun, kids are missing.
They could be prisoners.
We're not sure. So the girls go missing, and now our tale is set in motion. Of course, the RV is an immediately suspect. It's found quickly thereafter, and we're introduced to our detective friend. I don't remember his name. Do you?
Detective Loki.
Right, Detective Loki, played by Jake Gyllenhaal, who's a very, very interesting person.
Yes, he was.
You don't really get his backstory, but...
He's got something going.
He's got like a facial twitch around the eyes, and he's got tattoos, and he's got a mason ring.
Yeah.
It's all interesting.
And he's never lost a case. He's solved all of his cases.
Indeed. It's all interesting.
He's like a modern-day Dirty Harry.
It's a lot of detail that you don't get a backstory for, which is fine. It just kind of... I think you said it earlier. You just want to see a series of detective films with this guy. And I agree with you. I think, to me, he's the most interesting and compelling character in the film.
I want to watch him solve every crime in that small town.
He's sort of just like this calm demeanor, just very methodical and...
This is all he does.
He's compelling.
His wife, girlfriend. He just drives around like solving crime.
He doesn't change his shirt for like 4 days. It's very
tense. He's so tense.
It's very interesting. So anyway, so he's trying to solve the case. Meanwhile, the two dads end up taking matters into their own hands. Mostly Hugh Jackman takes matters into his own hands.
He's a carpenter. I'll leave it at that.
And Terrence Howard goes along with the ride reluctantly. I think we want to say too much more about it as far as the storyline goes, because
in a nutshell, right here, this is the point where like a million different things could have happened,
right?
And you don't know who to trust. I won't lie, for a little bit I thought it's the way the intensity that Jake played it,
sure,
I thought he might have had something involved. I was going for
maybe
a giant cult ending.
I think they did a decent job of not giving away right away who is responsible and sort of maybe throwing some red herrings out there or some misdirections. But I think there are some cases where if you're paying attention, you might pick up on some clues.
Right.
They may not all fit together right away, but I think, if you pay attention, you'll pick up on some information that could be useful later on. So, what do we think about the performances?
I thought the performances were good. I thought everybody brought out the best they could. I mean, this was the director...
some French guy.
French name.
We don't know what his name was, but the...
something.
The
you want to mention the
poor, the poor intern who was in charge of the screening was compelled to read some sort of comments about how this was his artistic vision, and he, you know, if you don't like the film, blame him. Yeah. I'm not really sure why, but or if he's just being pretentious, or what the deal is. But
I think he would be apologetic.
I don't know, but this isn't Sundance. I don't know why you need to preface a screening several weeks before the... Or actually, it's only a few days. Sorry.
Is it open Friday?
Yeah, it opens Friday the 20th, by the way.
Friday the 20th.
I don't know why you need to preface a Twin Cities local screener with words from the director. I think he started with, "I'm very sorry I couldn't be there with you today." Sure, you're going to make the flight out to St. Louis Park. Uh-huh. I know, but not in... Anyway, it was weird.
And at that same time,
I'm like
across
it.
The country, the same that it would be written.
That's my feeling, exactly. Exactly right. So, performances. Jake Gyllenhaal.
Dynamite.
Sorry, I got to do it with this hand because you can't see it, the other one. He did a great job.
Here.
Hugh Jackman.
Dynamite.
Was pretty good.
I did not think of Wolverine once watching this film.
That's true. Well, he's got very much a dad haircut.
Yeah.
He's a carpenter. You know, he pulled off the carpenter vibe pretty well.
You couldn't see how massive he is in
life. Yeah, yeah. That's true. Even if he's not eating, you know, 14 chicken breasts a day to maintain his Wolverine weight, he's still pretty big.
Now, I got to wonder that I would have liked to have learned more on the Terrence Howard family.
Sure.
They kind of just came in whenever the story needed a shift.
Yeah, but you get little nods, like, you know, he's Terrence Howard.
He's doing what he was supposed to do.
He can play trumpet, which is, I mean, it's just nice little character things. They're not necessarily important to the story, but just kind of
fleshes him out.
It fills out the world. Exactly. Right, it fills out the characters.
But
so.
It doesn't feel forced.
Right.
I thought in the end he was going to blow the trumpet to sound the alarm to save the day.
I got
to
say, the CG aliens, top notch. No, what? This is the CG aliens.
That threw me for a loop.
What do we think of the story?
I thought it was good. I hope I'm not giving anything away. The poetic part of the final scene.
Yeah. There were people in the audience who were audibly shocked by how the film ended. And I'm not going to give it away, but it ends in a way where you can pretty much use your imagination to figure out how things are going to resolve. So
but I was kind of...
So don't cry, babies. Use your brains.
I was watching the... Well, that's funny. Oh, here's a fun thing. Yeah. We got age discriminated.
Oh, we did. We got
walking
turned
out
on hard.
I was turned right note down. I'm like, I go, Jared, we're going to get questioned. What do we want to do, you know? Because, you know, we're old school at this, so we know how to either get in or get out.
Yeah.
And they kind of looked away at us, and they're probably like, no.
Avert eyes. We see gray hair. Do not talk to them.
Right. So
we're not marketing to them.
I can expect a recut of this film, half the length, skateboards, dubstep, is that what the kids call it?
Sure.
Dubstep. You know, and that the son on the Jackman family should have been sprung into action and saved the day on a skateboard.
He's probably a secret ninja or something.
Yes.
Right. That does bring me to an interesting...
Well, I'm being a vampire.
You do bring up you talked about length, not necessarily in the way I was going to talk about it, but I think if I have a critique of the film that is a negative, I felt it was long. So we're looking at about 2.5 hours or so?
Well, it is 2.5 hours, but it's not so much that it's long. It's just that it's so tense, they never give you breaks. It is just constant.
It is tense.
Where are these kids?
And it's a slow burn of tense.
Oh, it is a slow burn, but I love slow burns.
Yeah. I don't know. Your mileage may vary as far as your tolerance for length of films. Just, you know,
but it keeps moving.
Buyer beware. It's not like it necessarily drags.
It doesn't drag. It keeps moving. It's just at some point, you can't stay tense anymore. You can't go...
It might have been a 24 ounces of cherry coke I had, too. Yeah. I had to pee real bad, so...
I feel like I've been punched in the bladder.
So, I think we've just talked about as much as we can. Let's give this puppy a score.
All right.
The Scope score is... 3 1/4 stars.
And there's your score, 3 1/4 stars. So the Scope Fall Film Flam is off to a blazing start, 3 1/4 stars. I think this review will be out before our Don John review, because Don John doesn't come out until the following week. So we'll get that out to you. We've got Gravity coming up. We've got Captain Phillips coming up. The Fall Film Flam is in full effect. Earl,
holy smokes.
Earl might be around for one or more of these. You never know.
I hope so.
But folks, stick around.
And I'm at the Parkway showing classic films, which you should go show up and see.
I hear that. Parkway Theater, Minneapolis. Check it out.
48 in Chicago.
Yeah, if you're listening to this, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. If you're on YouTube, give us a like or a favorite. Comment down below, and we will see you next time.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying arrivederci. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.